thanks for downloading the audio podcast of this week's sermon. We pray you'll be blessed and encouraged with the words you hear.
Well, we're continuing this morning in the book of Proverbs. If you can turn with me in your Bibles to Proverbs chapter 3, we're going to read from verse 13 to 35, but we're going to do that during the course of the sermon. We're going to take three different sections as we move through it. So we'll be starting at verse 13 of chapter 3 in Proverbs. Just by way of means of an introduction, just let me ask you, do you ever take the optional insurance that's offered when you buy stuff? You go into the shop and you buy the thing and the guy says, well, we've got this insurance and so on, and tries to sell you some optional insurance that comes with that thing that you've just bought. Now, many of us just don't see the need for optional insurance, or maybe we just think, well, actually, I've spent enough money already and we'll take our chances. So we don't see the need until, of course, the time comes when we do see the need. And by that time, it can be too late. I'm not trying to sell you insurance this morning. But what I'm trying to do is paint the picture and just reassert the value and the supreme value of wisdom. Because wisdom is not an optional extra, a kind of take it or leave it kind of thing. And God doesn't try to sell us optional insurance either. In fact, he freely gives us all not insurance, but assurance, and the confidence that we need when we trust in him. Usually the patter of the salesperson or the helpfulness of the salesperson, depending on your view, will highlight and try to draw upon your fears. So this may break down, or this, if it breaks down, it'll be very expensive to fix. And so this insurance might help you. And so there's this kind of aspect of trying to push the fear thing to make you think, oh, well, maybe I might just need that. But of course, in God, the Bible says, as we trust in him with all of our hearts, not leaning on our own understanding, but in all our ways acknowledging him, he directs our paths, trusting in him. So what we see in Proverbs chapter 3 from 13 to 35 is that wisdom is tightly woven together with the blessing of God, belief in God, and the God-honoring behavior that follows. So looking at three things this morning: wisdom, blessing, belief, and behavior. So first, wisdom and blessing, verses 13 to 18. And these verses are very neatly bracketed by the word blessed. So from verse 13, blessed is the man who finds wisdom, the man who gains understanding. For she is more profitable than silver and yields better returns than gold. She is more precious than rubies. And Dot shared that with us already. The rubies, the preciousness of wisdom. Nothing you desire can compare with her. Let's just pause on that. Nothing you desire can compare with wisdom. Long life is in her right hand, and in her left hand are riches and honor. Her ways are pleasant ways, and all her paths are peace. She is a tree of life to those who embrace her. Those who lay hold of her will be blessed. And there's that Wonderful word there again, just bracketing that section. So wisdom as blessing. One of the most difficult things for us to truly believe about wisdom is that it has a higher value than money and material wealth. We would rather have, in some ways, a financial security rather than wisdom that comes from God. But here, Book of Proverbs tells us that wisdom is much, much more valuable than silver and gold and rubies. I wonder how that really lands upon us. How do we kind of like receive that? If we were to be offered a shed load of money, you know, tons of dosh on one hand, or the wisdom of God on the other, which would we choose? Really, which would we choose? God said to Solomon, ask for anything you want. He asked for wisdom. We're all aware that we need money. We need money to live, to buy food, to pay the bills, and so on. There's practicalities that we need to sort out in life. But Proverbs constantly presents wisdom as the ultimate value. Because we can have all the money, we can have wealth, we can have so-called financial security, and it can be gone in an instant. If we have the wisdom of God, the direction of God, the understanding of God, then we are much more secure. We put our security and our trust in Him. So Proverbs does that constantly, repeatedly, holds up wisdom as the ultimate value. And if we're hearing God's word as we should hear God's word, with humility and a desire to please God and a desire to change, and that involves having our priorities challenged, then we need to receive it. This is a serious point, and it raises some important questions about how we hear God's word. Do we hear the word of God and categorize it and put it into different boxes according to how we value life? How we value our circumstance, how we value where we're going. And so we hear God's word and we say, well, actually, that's not really valuable right now. I'll pigeonhole that. I'll put that one over there. I'll pigeon that here. Someone has said we don't see things as they are. We see things as we are. In other words, how we are on the inside will determine what we see on the outside. What do we truly value? What is our greatest passion and goal in life? What is it? Most of us spend an awful lot of our time, an awful lot of our energies in the pursuits of things that are maybe necessary, but not really necessary in the greater scheme of life. Matthew 6:21, Jesus says, for where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. And also Jesus goes on to say in Matthew 13:44-46, the kingdom of heaven is like treasure. It's like treasure hidden in a field. When a man found it, he hid it again. And then in his joy, he went and sold all that he had and bought that field. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like a merchant looking for fine pearls. When he found one of great value, he went away and sold everything he had and bought it. This challenges our value. I wonder if we have found the field. and found the treasure within that field. And we have found that pearl of great price, and sold everything, sold out, as we say, for God, and bought it hook, line, and sinker. Of course, the kingdom of heaven and wisdom are found in Jesus himself. They're not separate entities. The blessing of wisdom is the blessing of God himself. He is the treasure in the field. He is the pearl of greatest price. Excuse me. I suppose the question for us is, have we sold everything to gain him? Do we recognize the ultimate value of God himself? You know, there's many believers who live and even die for God and are thought to be fools by the world. They're sold out for God. And the more that they're sold out for God, the more foolish they appear. And it can be the same for us also, can't it? In our families, perhaps at our workplace, if we're going for God, committed Christian, really living out the faith, we are seen as fools, foolish. Jim Elliot was a martyred missionary who went to the Oka tribe in South America to reach them with the gospel. And he was martyred there. And he once said this: he is no fool who gives up what he cannot keep to gain what he cannot lose. There's lots of things that we can lose in this life. Jesus said, if you gain the whole world, everything in the world, and yet lose your own soul, what does that profit you? So the first thing that challenges us from this section of Proverbs is our whole value system. How do we see wisdom? Do we see it as an incredible, precious, profitable, wonderful blessing that God gives to us that we should be pursuing heart and soul? Or do we see it as an optional extra, as long as I've got the other stuff in life sorted out? So wisdom and blessing. The next thing we see from 19 to 26 is wisdom and belief. Wisdom and belief from verse 19. By wisdom, the Lord laid the earth's foundations. By understanding, he set the heavens in place. By his knowledge, the deeps were divided and the clouds let drop the dew. My son, preserve sound judgment and discernment. Do not let them out of your sight. They will be life for you and an ornament to grace your neck. Then you will go on your way in safety, and your foot will not stumble. When you lie down, you will not be afraid. When you lie down, your sleep will be sweet. Have no fear of sudden disaster or of the ruin that overtakes the wicked, for the Lord will be your confidence and will keep your foot from being snared. Hebrews 11, verse 3 says, by faith, we understand that the universe was formed at God's command. Wow. Wisdom. God forms the foundation of the earth. He forms the universe. He holds it all together. That is the God that we believe in. The God who, by his own wisdom and understanding, created everything by the word of his power, by wisdom. The Lord laid the foundations of the earth. By understanding, he set the heavens in place. I don't know if you've been watching The Perfect Planet or if you're catching up on iPlayer, but it really is fascinating to me as I watch it, and to all Christians, I'm sure, as we watch it and we just see the intricacies of our own world and how it works and how everything works together, and how the animals, you know, and these creatures lay their eggs at a certain time and a certain place, and the sun and the moon guides the tides, and how the crabs or the tortoises or whatever it is, they just happen to hatch at the right time and when the tide is turning and so on and so forth. It's absolutely fascinating, and it just brings a sense of absolute wonder and worship to my heart. And not only did God create everything, but he had the knowledge and the pure, infinite genius to know just how everything would work together in balance, in rhythm, in harmony, perfectly, finely tuned. Don't know if you do much DIY, or the bigger the project, the longer it takes and the more problems seem to happen. And you start off on the project and think, I'll do this. And you don't really understand how it's going to work out sometimes. And you don't come across problems until you start to actually work. And then you understand it can't be done, except, well, apparently it can't be done by me. If you've ever fixed your car, I remember trying to fix my car, or at least do an oil change on my car. And I thought I'd be the man and I'd do the thing, and I would get my spanners, and I found actually that you needed a particular spanner to take the bolt out, to let the sump bolt, I think it's called, and to drain the oil, and so therefore you can change it, and so on and so forth. So off I started to do that, and the bolt was quite tight, and as I was trying to get it off and trying my best and sweating underneath that car and so on, I failed miserably. I knew what to do. I just didn't know how to do it. I didn't have the tools. And what actually happened was that I ended up making that sump bolt a circle. The bolt became a circle so that it was impossible for me to take that thing out. The lack of knowledge, the lack of wisdom, the lack of proper tools. One of the guys in the church at the time told me, he said, no offense, but the tools that you have are rubbish. They're not hard enough. I just thought a spanner is a spanner. You know, it's hard and metal's hard, yeah? But, you know, there are certain types of tools you need, certain kind of knowledge and just that understanding of how to actually remove a bolt from the bottom of a car. Sounds so simple. But God knows. He knows how everything works and how everything works together. And it did work. And it is finely tuned. And it was finely tuned. And all that was true until another kind of wisdom was introduced into the world. An inferior wisdom. A destructive, devastating wisdom. And the question the devil posed was, did God really say? And then the ultimate lie, you shall not surely die. Wisdom and belief. The question was, and the question remains, who will we believe? Who and what we believe will determine what kind of wisdom we receive, For there are different kinds of wisdom, as James tells us. There is the wisdom that is fleshly and devilish and of the world, and that there is a kind of wisdom that comes down from heaven. Wisdom for life. Wisdom from God. There is wisdom for life, and there is wisdom that leads to death. The wisdom of God makes things work. Do you believe that? Because if you don't believe that, you will not go God's way. But if we do believe that, we will go his way. His wisdom, the wisdom of God, makes things work as they ought to work. How many of us came to Jesus because our lives were in a mess? Our lives were broken. We couldn't make it work. It wasn't working. Nothing was working. It didn't fit together. Our connections, our relationships were broken, and nothing seemed to work. God makes things work. That is wisdom. That is what he does. And we believe in this God who created everything and flung into space the what seems to be infinite amount of stars and planets all swirling around and together and working so cohesively and in tune. Take these two descriptions of water from verse 20, the deeps and the dew. The deeps and the dew, two extremes as far as volume is concerned. Verse 20, by his knowledge, the deeps were divided and the clouds let drop the dew. You think, well, what can you get out of that? Well, we're thinking about how God in his wisdom makes everything work. Think about the volume of water upon the earth. It's vast. The oceans are so deep. The average depth of the oceans is thought to be about 2.3 miles, but we don't really know because we've never had the ability to explore. Only 10% of the world's ocean bed has ever been explored and analyzed. 10%. There are more people who've walked on the moon that have visited the depths of the oceans. And think of the massive pressure there is as a submarine dives deep into the ocean depths. We just don't have the technology even to dive to the bottom of the deepest oceans. And God has made that. He made the dew that can descend so gently that it can come to rest upon a spider's web and not destroy it. And think about those two extremes, the pressure and the power of the oceans and the gentleness of the dew. And God makes it all work together. God knows how it all works. The moon and the tides and the earth tilted at 23.5 degrees, the perfect angle to create the seasons and so on. When we believe God, we are exercising wisdom, for we are coming to the place where we know that God knows how things work. And we begin to live in the light of that. Wouldn't it be great to be hooked up to somebody who knows how life is supposed to work? Well, we are, as Christians, as believers. We are in Christ, and Christ is in us. To live a life as it's supposed to be lived, how we were created to live, male and female. That is wisdom. And the result of that, verse 23, talks about our safety. And we will not stumble. Verse 24, and you'll not be afraid. And you'll lie down. In verse 25, and you will have no fear of sudden disaster or ruin that overtakes the wicked. There is so much fear. And fear, so often in our lives, is rooted in the lie. That we don't believe God. We lose sight of the fact that He is the God who created everything, holds everything together by the word of His power and by His wisdom. He created it all. He knows how it works and He knows how it's supposed to work. And we're united with Him and we rest in Him. And sudden disaster and ruin and fear will not sweep us away. For verse 26, for the Lord will be your confidence. A word there. The Lord will be your confidence. You remember when Paul was in Corinth and making his defense, and no one stood with him, and he was fearful. And the Lord came, and the Lord came and stood with him. When no one else stood with him, when circumstances weren't going well, when he was fearful, the Lord came and stood with him. The Lord is standing with us. Belief and blessing, blessing and belief and wisdom all go together. Who are you believing? Let's turn our hearts to God and believe what He is saying to us through His word. The blessing and belief need to be lived out. And our third and final point this morning, wisdom and behavior. Verses 27 to verse 32. Do not withhold good from those who deserve it. When it is in your power to act, do not say to your neighbor, come back later, I'll give it tomorrow, when you have it with you now. Do not plot harm against your neighbor who lives trustfully near you. Do not accuse a man for no reason when he has done you no harm. Do not envy a violent man or choose any of his ways. For the Lord detests a perverse man, but takes the upright into his confidence. The true blessing of God and genuine belief in God leads to behavior that honors God. Wise living, skillful living, compassionate living. God has translated His wisdom for us perfectly and supremely in Jesus. Jesus lived skillfully, expertly, perfectly. It says in Luke chapter 2:52, and Jesus grew in wisdom and stature and in favor with God and men. This verse follows on, of course, from that incident in Jesus' life where he was found in the temple and Joseph and Mary were frantic, wondering where on earth Jesus was. And there he had been in the temple, discussing and asking and debating with the teachers of the law. And people were amazed, even at that young age, a young teenager. Here was a teenager who really did. Yeah, he knew a lot. And when we look at Jesus, we see how life is supposed to be lived. We see how Jesus answers his enemies. Never a man spoke like this man. He deals with his doubt, with his doubters. He welcomes the rejected. He loves the outcast. He forgives the sinner. Not only does Jesus know exactly how the world is supposed to work, he knows why it doesn't work. And so do we. At least I hope we do. The silence of Adam in the face of the temptation of the devil to believe his lies is deafening. When the tempter came to the garden, Adam should have rebuked the devil's weasel words. Adam should have stood up and affirmed the blessing of God and his belief in God. Adam should have declared God's word and the truth of it, but he remained silent. He remained stumm. He didn't respond. He didn't counteract the lies that were declared. And so suffering comes, and God sees the pain and the suffering that Adam's silence caused. God sees it all. Life is not as God created it to be. And what does God do? What does God do? When we think about suffering, when we think about the mystery of it all, and the pain, and the darkness, and the brokenness, what does God do? And we maybe even ask these days, God, where are you? What are you doing? Well, this is what God did do. God, in his wisdom, becomes a man. God, eternal God, becomes a man. Remaining fully God, becomes fully man and enters the world that he created by his wisdom, and suffers for our silence. That's God's wisdom. He declares the truth. He defeats the enemy of our souls. He is not silent. He proclaims truth. He lives truth. He shows what a life is supposed to be lived like. And where Adam failed in a perfect paradise, Jesus triumphed in a fallen, broken world. The just for the unjust, to bring us to God. Wisdom and behavior. Adam was what the theologians call our federal head. If Adam had succeeded, well, it seems to me that the Bible, that we extract the truth that if Adam had succeeded, there would have come a point where, yes, that would have been it. He would have been in a fixed state of perpetual perfection. But he failed. Adam failed miserably, because he did not believe God. He did not receive God's wisdom. He received a wisdom that came from the devil, and the results are all around us today. I love that verse in the hymn, "Jesus Shall Reign." It says this: where he displays his healing power, death and the curse are known no more. In him, the tribes of Adam boast more blessings than their father lost. Isn't that amazing? That is the gospel. All the blessing the beauty of the paradise that Adam had, the blessing bestowed upon him, the faith, the belief, the understanding of who God was, all placed upon him. And yet he chose to believe a lie. We preach Christ crucified, a stumbling block to Jews and foolishness to Gentiles. But to those whom God has called, both Jews and Greeks, Christ, the power of God and the wisdom of God. God shows his wisdom in creating the world and the universes. He also shows his wisdom in recreating, and he will recreate all things. The call of wisdom is not merely a call to correct our behavior, to try to live better lives. The call of wisdom is the call to come to Christ, for in him we find true life-changing wisdom, the everlasting blessing of God. Let's pray for a moment, shall we? Let's bow our heads. In God's presence, where you are in your home, whether with your family, with spouse, with others, whether you're on your own, let's just for a few moments just bow our heads in God's presence and ask him to speak to us and continue to speak to us through his word and by his spirit, that we would know this blessing that wisdom is. Lord, that you would help us to reorder our priorities and what we see as treasure and what we see as valuable, what we see as worth our time and our effort, that we would see the ultimate value of wisdom as you describe it and show it and display it. Lord God, help us, give us a heart for wisdom. Open up our eyes to the truth of it, the majesty of it, the wonder of it, and wisdom as belief. Oh Lord, help us to hear your voice. God, open up our hearts and our minds that we may truly hear you, that we would believe you, that we would understand that, yes, you know how things work. You have given us your word. There are no exceptions. Yes, we may live our lives against your wisdom and your ways and your word and get away with it for a while. But there are consequences, Lord. Help us to believe you, to hear your word. And Lord, enable us to live out the blessing and the belief of wisdom. God, that we may honor you, glorify you in our lives, and shine a light for others who are in darkness, who are struggling, who keep going down dead ends, who keep making foolish choices, who don't understand how things are not working out. Lord, help us. Enable us. God, we don't want to be silent in these days. Give us a voice to speak, to live it out, to honor you, to show the way of wisdom by living in the power of wisdom. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thanks for listening to this week's podcast. If you would like any more information, have a look at our website at www.ballymoneyelam.com.